panel is doing a questionnaire, and we have a little bit of a QR code that is on the door right out here. And what we are doing is kind of just getting your feedback on how well this new hotel is, if we can improve upon anything, and or make any changes on the fly to, you know, better accommodate and or, you know, have better equipment in the future and, you know, how things are running. So the survey is about 20 questions long. About 16 questions are like 0 to 10, how we're doing on that. And then there's 4 feedback questions. And we know your time is valuable. So if you do take the survey and take time out to do it, is that you will be entered to possibly get one of the vinyl banners for our panels. So we are raffling one off. Maybe even 3 if I can get some. So.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And then you guys can do it too. And then if you guys want feedback from the panel.
Sure. We'll plug the feedback too at the end of the panel.
Yeah.
At the end of the panel. Yeah.
just email.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I'm assuming 3 right here. Thank you for all the. Sorry, the panel table was too small. We weren't just entirely sure what was going on here. We'll do a soft start because I know that furry time is in effect, and that means people are going to wander in late. And I'm also bad. Like,
everybody here, or do we need to use the?
Can you hear, or should we use the microphone?
Microphone.
Okay. Test.
Can
you hear me? Better.
Put it right up to your.
Okay. Great. So I'm Sturmovic. I do a lot of rail fandom stuff. In fact, I probably put more hours into rail fandom than furry fandom. I've done, you know, a lot of. We'll go into our background and stories, but I sort of started the rail furry meet and greet Anthrocon, and most of my cons are excuses to go out and do fun rail cons in a variety of cities. I get both my rail photo page. They match up yearly to what.
I'm Ponder Beaver. I've only been really active in the furry fandom since like early 2019, but I've been a lifelong interest in trains and passion for train travel. I am involved with the Rail Passengers Association. I was on their staff for almost 5 years, and since 2014 I've been on their national volunteer advisory body, and I've been working in rail and transit industry in some fashion since 2009. I live in D.C. and I don't own a car. I get around by transit, e-bike, and walking. And I take the train whenever possible within and between cities.
I'm Saab. I'm a local fur. I primarily stick to the Northeast Corridor, so I have a lot of experience on the NEC. Besides A&E, I've never actually successfully gone to another. Con besides A&E by train, but I planned a few. Every time I try to go to one, something happens. just bad luck. But I'm well versed in like the Northeast region and how to use local systems to get to the cons. Working with Amtrak.
Hi, I'm Shane. I've been on 2 trains to MFF, and I also love watching trains. Did a trip out one summer to go see the 4014, the big boy, out in Chicago. Basically it. I like trains.
Hi, I'm Kez. I have loved trains since I was very small. I lived in like this region that has the oldest commuter rail in the United States, the Long Island Railroad. That thing that sticks off of New York, but yeah, I spent a lot of time in New York City taking subways, and my girlfriend is from Richmond, Virginia, so I have been on the Northeast Regional and Silver Star a whole lot in the last 6 months, and I'm looking forward to taking it to FWA in like another 2, so.
Okay. So quick audience participation thing here. First off, show of hands, who's ever taken Amtrak anywhere? Everybody here? Anyone who has it? Okay.
Wow.
Good. Interesting. All right, great. Who has taken a train to a con? Okay, everybody. Okay. Do you guys know how to do it? Let's say who wants to take a train to a con and hasn't before. Okay, at least we have some people that are going to learn some things. And who also classifies themselves as a rail enthusiast. Is that everybody or just a few? Okay, we have some non-enthusiasts. Great. This is designed to be for all ages, all experience levels. We just want to see what the audience is. First, a couple of things. We just want to say that that this isn't scientific at all, but there are a variety of categories of rail accessible cons. There are the ones that you can get directly to the con space, effectively directly to the con hotel via Amtrak. There are ones that get you close, but you need to maybe take an Uber or a longer bus. And then there's ones that maybe just get you within the same city, and you know those are. That's not the greatest. Just like an airport, those are the various things. A couple of quick things we want to go through first. There's a lot of furry cons that you can directly get to. Sorry, I'm bad with microphones. There are a lot of really good cons that you can travel directly to. These include the best one what used to be TFF and is now Texas Furry Siesta. The Reunion Hotel is directly attached to the Amtrak station. That wins the award for arguably most Amtrak accessible con.
I'm gonna say now Texas Furry Siesta.
Yes, that's what I said.
Okay, because TFF is now downtown.
Yeah, it's now downtown, but it's now TFS Hotel. Number two, slightly behind it by a couple blocks, is gonna be Anthrocon, where the Pennsylvania Railroad Pittsburgh station is about, two blocks away?
Right behind the back of the Western.
If you hang on the back of the train and jump off and climb up the wall, it's directly attached to the DLCC.
Yep.
But for most people,
you can hear the brakes when it goes around.
This is a problem. Okay, one second. I'll get that. We're back. Okay. Other ones up there. MFF. You can definitely take subway directly to the con. So you can't take Amtrak to the con, but Blue Line will take you to Rosemont. Rosemont. That station is walking. If you've been to the main hotel, and that might not be many people anymore. You can hear that subway going all night. Philadelphia is now in a downtown location about two blocks from Suburban Station with a free transfer from 30th Street. FC, as you were mentioning today,
they have a VTA line from Dearborn Station, San Jose, that takes you right in front of the convention center. It's the Santa Teresa line.
And anyone who's cheap can also walk it. Is there anybody that might listen? There's so many cons out there. Are we forgetting any?
A lot of Sacramento tourists took the train.
This one, to be honest, although.
Yes, this one also as well. When I put this list together, I thought that the Seaport was not going to be as accessible, but the Silver Line takes you to that World Trade Center station across the street, so you can walk it. But the old location also was about four blocks from back then.
It was literally across the street from the Arlington Green Line stop.
Yes.
Then there was the Hyatt Regency, Cambridge. That was difficult.
You could walk it. I did.
It was like a 20-minute walk from the Green Line stop.
Anybody else up top tier of directly accessible cons that we're forgetting?
Atlanta? Does Atlanta have
I believe that Furthermore.
Yeah, Furthermore.
It's okay down in Virginia. You can get the Amtrak to Washington State, and you have to get two metro trains to the Pentagon. Yeah.
Closer to Alexandria Station. It's a three-stop, one-seat ride from Alexandria Station.
We put there on the not-so-good because it's a 0.7-mile walk from the nearest transit, and if you're encumbered with a lot of baggage like fursuits, that's going to be really tough for a lot of people. That's why I was worried about this con, but I didn't realize how close we were to Silver Line.
Yep.
Could you say again, real quick, what are the directly accessible cons again?
Effectively, Anthrocon.
I'm typing it in. Hang on. Anthrocon. I'm sorry.
Just type AC.
Yeah, AC. TFS Furry Siesta. TFF does have also. I mean, you have to make a transfer to light rail, but that's a across the platform.
Okay, so Anthrocon, TFF.
TFF.
Furpock, I guess it would be more in the second tier.
So, I don't know where Furpock is in Stamford. How far from the
It's kind of north
station?
From...
Yeah.
I would say it's not north quite...
It's not really downtown, so a little north.
Come back to me afterwards.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So other ones like that where you're in the full cities, Portland, I also said, furthermore, Anthro Northwest, I checked that out. That's a bit of a hike, but it is accessible. And by the way, when I say accessible, I don't mean just to the Amtrak station. I mean Amtrak transfer to something else. If you can get there on rail transit where it's convenient and doesn't involve a walk or an Uber. What's DF?
Denver.
Yes, Denver. That's again close to the downtown station, but it's still a bit, it's going to be a 5 or 6 block walk up to a mile.
ACFI.
Which one's that one?
Calvo City in San Antonio.
I'm not sure. It could be close to it.
I think it's a few blocks from this.
I also forgot to look up where Painted Desert is, but.
Well,
no, where it is in relation.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Painted Desert is in Phoenix and Post Station to Mariposa, about 20 miles away.
If there was a Tucson Con, then maybe that one. Okay, those are just some examples of.
And Anthro Expo is like a couple of blocks from the Oklahoma City Station.
There you go. So if anyone, shout them out right now. So these are all ones of the different types. You're either going to have a few of them have this direct connection where, and listen, I'm speaking to the fact that as you are existing in this fandom, you will get more and more and more baggage. A mile walk is not a bad walk if you're unencumbered, but at some point you're going to have 8 action packers. So
here's a good example. It's a good example. At SC last week, there were a lot of people who did walk, but you better have an umbrella because it was raining every single day during the con.
So a couple that are going to be way harder. BLFC, you can. It's Reno does get service from the Zephyr, but again, you're going to need an Uber for that. Same with FWA. In theory, you can walk to a MARTA station and then you can walk again to the hotel, but you're going to be Ubering from each station.
Just to add, there is a bus for BLFC from Reno Amtrak station. Take the Reno Transit number 10 train, or bus, I meant, that takes you right to GSR, from GSR.
That's why we're having this section of the con for people to yell out their transit solutions. Yep, what's up?
Okay, so for those who miss your Fern Park, yes, the train, for those who miss your Fern Park, yes, you can't get the Amtrak to Stanford, then you will have to get a bus to the hotel or walk.
Okay, so there is a one-seat ride for a bus for that.
Yes.
Yes, basically, once you go off the train at Stanford, you can get a bus right to the hotel.
Okay.
But that's the Fern Park.
But at least the Fern Park Hotel has free parking from what I heard.
Okay.
Oh, really?
It does.
Yeah, on the weekend, yep. Yeah.
That's why in October I'm going to drive to Fern Park.
Right. As a car show.
General, which cons are accessible? Moving on in our information portion of the night.
Yeah.
This year is going to be the first one I go to.
So I'm going to start off here and hand off to Ponder in a second. But who here has done Amtrak? So I know that I asked who's done Amtrak. Who has specifically done Amtrak long distance? Okay. A bunch less people. Okay. So I just want people to be aware of that unless you're just going up and down the corridor, hitting Philadelphia and Anthony, New England, Amtrak does have its long distance component. They have a lot less frequency. It is a very interesting, I highly recommend the experience. There's a couple of pros that you have to sort of talk with people who've done it before because there's going to be a couple of tricks. You have to assume that you're going to be at least an hour late on long distance because you are. The seats are really great, but if you're traveling for sleeping, but if you're traveling by yourself, you will be assigned next to a random stranger. So it really helps, unless you're getting a sleeper, to travel in pairs or to arrange your travel with other furries who are getting on the same train. You can talk to the attendants and have them say, hey, I have a friend getting on a certain station. Please, keep the seat open for my friend getting on later than me. Things when you're looking at for the cons, on the corridor, it's like, oh, I pick which train will get me there on time. Long distance, you don't get a choice of cons because there's really only 2 trains. Certain cons, like TFS or TFF in Denver, have fantastic arrival times. The trains in both directions, they arrive around noon to 3 p.m. You get there on a Thursday, that's exactly when the hotel check-in, check-out time is. Pittsburgh's going to be a little harder. The Capital Limited gets in at 5 a.m. and midnight. So you can stay, you're going to have to stash your bags after the dead dog, and then you can go over to catch the Capital Limited to Chicago, or you have to get your butt up early in the morning to either catch the 8 a.m. Pennsylvanian or that 5 a.m. cap. So these are just things to consider when you're taking a train to a con. Listen, as much as, it's fun to take Amtrak, but you might have to, Don't feel bad if the arrival times are bad and you have to fly. or you can really try to tough it out. But that's definitely something that you need to be aware of for those arrival times. Do you have any comments?
I guess more of that third tier would be some of the others in the Midwest, First Squared, IFC, MCFC, and the one in St. Louis, Gateway.
Another thing that I'm gonna move this up in our presentation is people might have been noticed, unless you who's taken Amtrak recently, but they've been drastically changing the way they do their pricing. The way the pricing, it used to be that stuff would start off very low, the prices, the fare buckets would fill up, and then they'd be at a high point, and you generally could book 6 months in advance, you were golden. The way they tend to do it now is they start the price at a fairly elevated intermediate level, and then about 2 or 3 months out, the prices will drop, and then they will climb again, and then they might drop again. So you have to do research. You have to go on Amtrak site. You have to like look ahead, book say, what is it this date 2 months from now? What is it this date 1 month, 90 days out? And you will find where that moving window is, and then as soon as that window hits, that's when you look to book your ticket.
Yeah, generally speaking, book as early as possible, but there are some instances where if you're like 5 months out, like waiting maybe a couple of months, it may come down a bit before the window's back.
I would say within 90 days is probably ideal.
And always recheck the price, because we've noticed that. So when we went to MFF this year, we bought it at the $499 roomette tier, and then they actually added another sleeper, and then the price dropped to $350. We rebooked, and I got the difference as a voucher.
Wow.
So always recheck in the last couple weeks to see if that price has dropped. And I'm just addressing some of the hang-ups when people say, Amtrak's too expensive, Amtrak doesn't hit the times that I want. Those are valid criticisms.
Also some of them, like the Amtrak that goes from like New York to where Anthrocon is, the station, like it's kind of a long distance train. So a ride coach overnight, I can imagine that wouldn't be very comfortable.
No, so on the long distance, just remember that the long distance coaches, especially even on, let's say, the East Coast or the Superliners, they both use very, very large seats. They're almost like lay flat seats you see in international business class. They recline back at like 45 degrees, and there's a little footrest. The seat pitch is huge, so they really almost turn into beds even in coach.
But the major
issue that you need to work out, be aware of, is that if you're traveling by yourself, you're going to get put next to another person.
Right, with the roomette option. How that costs about as much as it would to fly from Boston to.
Coach. The thing that you need to be aware of for the roomettes and any of the sleepers is that think about what you realize that there is a trade off that you aren't spending money on a hotel room. So that's both transportation and a hotel night. So it's not like, this roommate costs a lot of money. It's what is the cost of if I flew to the con a day early and stayed in the hotel room, and versus what if I just went on that and paid for the hotel room as part of my trip.
And meals included.
And meals are included.
And you're still trying to get involved.
Yeah. So I'm just giving you, so that's just one of the things of, and also, but for those who are on a little bit more of a budget, if you want those things, check us out later. Just be aware of, don't just look at the prices or try to book the day before and then complain that it costs $900. Like, you've got to play the game and check that multiple, you know, just be aware of how those prices move and you can get reasonable deals. So, you have a question?
I should also say, it's not outright impossible to find tickets. Say you need to book last minute, or say you have a flight cancellation of some kind. This con was rather last minute for me. I had to book just 3 weeks in advance, so it's not outright impossible, and I did manage to get the cheaper ticket price on the Lakeshore Limited of $50.
That's amazing.
So, it's not impossible. Would I recommend waiting to last minute? No, but if you are out of options, do check.
And just today, I had a friend who bought a $40 ticket back on regional tomorrow, Sunday night, and he wanted to extend till Monday, and because the demand right now in winter is low, he actually was able to get a $95 Acela ticket from Boston to Washington 72 hours out. So Amtrak is, the prices, well, since they start at a mid-level, they go down, they go up, and then if they don't sell those trains out, they will drop those prices to sell them last minute, but don't rely on it. Yep.
So I'm from Huntsville, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it would be feasible for something like taking a short plane to get you somewhere fast, passenger rail and then taking that to the car?
So
you
can.
That's the person that I know who was in Boston who left Chicago. Take out one of the trains to go out to one of the Western
cons,
so it's
possible. Yeah, you can also, so look into this, but from what every time I've heard, so your closest train is going to be the Crescent that goes through, where's Auburn?
Yeah, Auburn.
Yeah. What's that city that Auburn is in?
It stops at Tuscaloosa, Birmingham, and Anniston.
So Amtrak actually has pretty decent, either very permissive abilities to park at their long distance stations. You wouldn't think it, you can just usually leave your car there, and it's fine.
Yeah.
So you could drive to Tuscaloosa and just catch the Crescent all the way up to New York
or Birmingham, right?
Or Birmingham, yeah, whatever. Just look into their local policies, but just be aware that they have very surprisingly permissive parking policies at their long-distance stations. You brought up something that went out of my head.
Let me ask you something about, because
sure.
I'm not from the East Coast, I'm
no,
not from this area, but usually the parking, is it pretty difficult to do long-term parking in many of these major cities?
In the major cities, absolutely. I'm talking about those small cities like Tuscaloosa. You wouldn't think that, but if you come from a major city, you don't expect a station to have free parking, especially overnight, but they do. But you have to look it up. But you can always look it up, but you'd be surprised. Something else I want to mention that Piner clued me into this. Amtrak, for a variety of people, if you're on their rewards programs or the credit card or whatever, you can get a variety of buy one, get one companion pass coupons that they tend to give out in various things. You can actually use those for roomette travel. If you go with a person, you can get that second person who qualifies a buy one, get one coupon too. So,
There's a $2.99 pass now too, right?
Huh?
There's a $2.99 rail pass now.
Yes.
If you like buy right now, you can. If you spend $299, you get a pass that's good for a certain number of trips within either 15 or 30 days. But you still have to book those separately, but they're covered in the pass. But for coach seat, you have to pay an upgrade for a roommate. But Amtrak Guest Rewards is a free program, just like all of the airlines, frequent flyer programs. And once you sign up and you get a number, if you put that number in on your reservation, you get 2 points for every dollar spent. And if you make status, you get an additional points on top of that. If you have the Amtrak Guest Rewards credit card, you get additional points on top of that.
But changed the credit card bank. I used to have Bank of America.
Yeah.
And they changed it to some other bank, and I can't.
First National Bank of Omaha.
It's fine. It seems okay.
But point redemption works kind of the same way as buying a ticket. The number of points required will vary based on the dollar price of the ticket, and that fluctuates.
Amtrak is a 2.7 cent redemption rate, which is very high.
Yeah. So you talk about like the minimum for like one overnight in a roomette would be like 12,000 points. But a minimum for, Boston to New York in coach on a regional would be, two or 3,000 points.
Another couple things to remember is that when you're buying a roomette, that it's an accommodation charge that is good for two people. So it's like you're gonna pay two rail fares, and then that one accommodation works for two people as it does for one. So it's a really good way to buddy up, even if your additional person is getting on at a later stop than you. So if you're getting on in Birmingham and you can pair up with another furry getting on in Atlanta, you just book them both from Birmingham and tell the person that your friend's getting on in Atlanta, and then you split the cost with them. And then if you look at the price on that compared to either flying or whatever, it's generally pretty reasonable unless you really like book last minute or on a very high demand. And the meals are all included, and it's a really wonderful experience. You can use first class lounges in New Orleans, LA, Seattle, Chicago, Boston, New York, Philadelphia.
The LA one is really nice.
Did they change it? Because it was okay when I was there the last time, like 5 years, like in 2016.
That hot food.
I will say the meals
that are included in Sleeper on the Eastern trains and also the City of New Orleans and Texas Eagle are not that great. They're microwavable meals and the menu options limited. But on the other Western long-distance trains, they have traditional dining for sleeping car passengers, and that's full, fresh cooked meals on board, and they're pretty high quality.
I love that Amtrak cheeseburger.
I don't know if they allow it to the lower berth, the lower bed,
a bedroom.
Yeah, I'm talking about the lower bed in a bedroom is pretty wide. You'd have to have two people in that bed and then one person in the bed up top.
I've heard there are ways to get three people in a bedroom I don't know how they do it, but I think that's generally kosher.
Yeah.
There used to be ways to book three people in a roomette, but you really had to know the secret sauce.
There's handicapped room. You can probably fit three people in.
Okay, you have to call if you want to fit three in a bed. But we will have photos of the various accommodations in a little bit.
Yeah, and the superliner trains, the double, so most of the Western ones plus the Capital Limited also have a family bedroom, which sleeps four. But the Eastern trains, the ones that go into New York City, do not have those.
A couple other things. Another interesting thing in the roomettes, the sleepers, that you are permitted to drink your own alcoholic beverages in your accommodation. And on those Eastern trains where they do not allow they generally permit you on the dining of the, sorry.
You get one included alcoholic beverage with dinner. Only with dinner.
Some of those trains, like the Capital Limited, where the diner is now effectively a first-class lounge, they generally permit you to just bring your own stuff and drink it there, but that's going to be on the crew, but they generally are chill with that. Other couple things, the lounge actions, maybe connections. one other thing I'm talking about, we mentioned people talk about flying. You don't have to book the train both ways. You can always take the train to a con and fly back, or fly to a con and take the train back. That's all about what works for you and your schedule. In general, I find that if you want to take the train back from the West Coast, if you want to do a big cross-country Amtrak trip, take the train eastbound because the lighting works out better and you don't have to, you can bring all your stuff home with you on the train. Yes?
It also is, I think, important to mention that Amtrak does offer international service. To Vancouver, Toronto, and Montreal.
Toronto's only from New York, though.
Montreal's recently suspended, but should be resumed like around May.
When I say connections, that's one thing I wanted to mention. Do not make a same day sleeper connection through Chicago.
Do not do that.
They let you do it. You will. Fun fact: the first time I tried, I took an Amtrak cross country trip. I thought I could make that connection to Chicago. My train was late. We did not make the connection. We managed to hook it up the next day. Listen, they will take care of you. They'll put you in a hotel.
A nice hotel, but if you're willing to spend an extra
You might not get your sleeper on the next leg. And it was funny because the hotel they put me on was the Hilton across from MFF. I did not know what that
was. Happened to me. It was the Swiss Hotel downtown, which is a 5-star hotel.
So yeah, I've heard a lot of that lately. Oh, yeah.
That's something I have a lot of personal experience with, is booking a train through Chicago and trying to make a connection. I have done it three times, and I have failed all three times.
Wait a night. Have a nice night in Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was coming back to Boston from Reno after being there for a few months due to work and also trying to hit that con out there. And I had a 4.5-hour connection in Chicago. You would think that'd be enough. Until Union Pacific gets in the way out in Salt Lake City, and you end up sitting on the tracks for 5 hours. I didn't even get to Chicago. I got to Galesburg, Illinois, where everyone who had to be on a train from Chicago got basically kicked off the train. They're on buses.
Yep.
They're on like Amtrak throughway coaches to, in my case, Indianapolis, where yes, I got my room. I ended up getting the room I booked, but it was a 4-hour slog on a bus.
It's happened to me before too. On the Coast Starlight, there was some kind of event where the tracks were north of Sacramento were damaged, and Union Pacific had to work it. So in San Jose, they announced we're going to get off to Sacramento, get off the train, and go on a bus on Highway 99 all the way from Sacramento to Klamath Falls, Oregon, across the state line. Then the train was right there, and I guess the people from Seattle got off there at Klamath, take bus to Sacramento. Sacramento passengers got off to Klamath, and that's how I got on the train again.
So Amtrak's corridor services, not just the NEC, but Lincoln Service, Wolverine, Cascades, the California, those, anything where you have multiple frequencies per day, that you can generally consider those more reliable, and you can if you're making that connection, if Amtrak will let you book the connection, they generally are okay with it. But just be aware that anything can happen. The poor folks, there's a bunch of people coming here on train 448 from the Lakeshore Limited, and they were 30 miles outside Boston yesterday, and then a commuter train hit a car parked on the tracks, and then they were 2 hours late.
And by the way, on the way back from Seattle to L.A., because I took the train back, no problems at all.
Yep. But that is it.
Two things that make Amtrak advantageous versus flying. One, no TSA, no security hassles. And two, much more generous baggage allowance. Even if you're going for a station or to a station that has no checked baggage service, the carry-on allowance is two full-size bags and two smaller bags plus personal item per person. And then if you can take advantage of checked baggage service, that's two additional bags per person.
It's very furry friendly. It's very furry friendly.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up about bikes and other stuff like that. Is one thing you can do on Amtrak that you cannot while flying is travel with 3,600 watt hours of lithium-ion batteries in a suitcase-sized wheel like this. Which, by the way, when you get off the train and ride it downtown on a beautiful night, is absolutely wonderful. Would highly recommend. So Ponder knows more about the specifics of e-bikes, but I can tell you for electric unicycles, it's just like a suitcase. And I even had a smaller one I could put in the overhead, but this one fits just fine under the seats on the Silver Star. So
most Amtrak routes are now bike friendly, but on the Northeast and a lot of the East Coast short distance trains, you have to be able to remove the front wheel from your bike to be able to put it in the racks that are in the Amfleet cars.
Same thing with the Amtrak California.
Yeah, California ones, but on most long-distance routes, with some exceptions like the Capital Limited, you can only take your bike to and from a station that has checked baggage service, and they give it like a claim check, and you roll it up to the baggage car, and they put it in the baggage car.
And again, don't go to Chicago with that.
Yeah, but you don't have to remove the front wheel if you put it in the baggage car.
So a couple of things on NEC travel. First off, because the trains are all using high-level platforms, they open all the doors. They don't really have anyone gating. So if you have this, whatever baggage or whatever, except for bikes, whatever baggage and stuff they have for the NEC, no one's going to really give you a hassle because all the doors open. They don't have anyone at every door. You can just get all your stuff on. Anything, just FYI, that's there's a little more flexibility there. Another thing I want to mention for the people who want to run up and down the NEC, everybody knows there's normally Amtrak trains, there's the Acela. With Amtrak's new pricing strategies, the Acela is actually really affordable in a lot of locations. Sometimes it's not, but you can definitely get a lot of cheaper Acela tickets now. And another interesting thing to consider, there's three things I'll say, is that if you have class upgrade coupons, you can use that. They offer a bid to upgrade, or you can even get very, very cheap first class prices. We came up yesterday on a Acela first class in Washington. It's a wonderful experience. You get a meal south of New York, you'll get another meal north of New York, and then we'll just keep that alcohol flowing. One thing I'll also mention, please tip your attendants. It is a tip thing. Tip your first class attendants, tip your baggage car attendants. If you get sky caps, they definitely tip them too.
Tip your sleeping car attendants, but not conductors.
Not conductors, but the attendants. They're there to help you. There's a little more, I won't get into the ups and downs of tipping. Just be aware that it is generally appreciated, expected. At least $5 a night, ideally 10.
Bring cash, which are small bills.
Yes.
I've never been on a Acela. Never been on it. What is it like?
It's fine. It's a little bright.
It's fine.
It's one of those things where for a rail fan experience, the Amfleets might even be superior. The cars are very bright, so it can be harder to sleep, but it's faster. You're going to save nearly an hour coming from New York to Washington, and you do not get a Acela first class you don't have a first class experience on the regionals. Business class is always nice. The Pacific Surfliner business is also very nice. You get a free glass of wine.
Oh, yeah.
It's
definitely not
Surfliner. On any given route, you can ask me my opinion on whether the upgrade to business class is worth it or not. My opinion varies based on the route and the different offerings.
Someday I'll be on all, Acela.
No,
someday.
Not all business class is created equal.
And sometimes you'll get access to a rear-facing window if creating real content is one of your things. But again, we don't want to go into the crazy details of like this business class car, this type of equipment. We're just giving you general stuff. I will say, here's one thing that is important. If you're catching a train, especially in an origin, and you have a lot of furry bags, you get your freaking butt on that train first. You need to seize those baggage. There's limited baggage racks, especially on the Amfleets and Acela and the Superliners. Very limited bag. There's not very limited, but there's limited. It's not unlimited. And you want to be on that car first, even if you're on a sleeper, especially if you're on a coach. Remember, so a couple tips. At Penn Station, do not wait in the sheeple line at the Moynihan train hall. As soon as that train is announced, you go to the Cuomo concourse or the NJT concourse and just get on, go down the steps yourself and get on the train first. Any other place where you're waiting in line, get your butt to the front of that line to get the, if you have a lot of bags.
There's also at major stations Red Cap service, which will help you get on the train first and help you with your bags. And be sure to tip those folks as well.
Yeah, they. If you're worried about it, if you don't mind spending money, the Red Caps are like the cheat code. It costs money, but they will get you. They will. It's effectively a buying a pre-board. One second, while we're talking about bags, I want to do a quick plug for bags. Hold on. I think someone else sent some pictures of one, but I'll get that up in a bit. So, use your friends. The $4 IKEA bag. Woo! For your head.
Zipper. I use that for Joe Bear. I use that for Joe Bear all
yes.
the time.
There are custom head bags. I think someone sent me a photo of one. We'll get that up. I'll get that in a second.
It is
also, this is the wave of the future, not Action Packers. 150-liter North Face climbing bag. This is ultra super durable. And you have straps, so you can wear one on your back and one on your front, and you can walk the distance until you collapse. But these North Face bags that cost about $180, unless you can't get them on sale, these are so much better than Action Packers.
REI has one. I think they cost $100. Is very similar to this. It's green. I can fit all of my suit except the bodysuit. I can put the head, feet paws, hand paws, and both tails. I have two different tails in that bag. And then so I can put the body everything. Or I can put everything except the head in there and carry the head separately.
I'll put everything except the head.
And the beauty of those North Face bags is that we've taken. You can pick that up, hike that up. You can do outdoor activities. You can hike that to any other in a city wherever you're going. Those bags are great. Sorry,
I live on the IKEA bag.
we got. If anybody knows Half Dome Yosemite, that bag got first suits up to the Half Dome Yosemite. You can do Mount Washington. You can do for anyone who's local here. A lot of great stuff. So I'm gonna just show. We have a couple of quick photos. And we're going to go into some personal stories of our wonderful panelists here, any experiences they had, and then we can go cut to the crowd if any guys do have some fun experiences here. So hold on, I'm going to get these photos up.
Meanwhile, any general questions about what we've covered or about Amtrak train travel in general?
Whatever. You guys can see that enough, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, one note about if you do use Amtrak's check baggage service, hold on to your claim check. Unlike the airlines, Amtrak will check that when you claim your bag at the destination, Amtrak will check that claim check.
Nice.
So you know that.
Sorry about that. Okay. So this is a Viewliner roomette. Superliner roomettes are slightly different, but. This is your photo, so you can describe it.
Yes, this is a Viewliner roomette. So these are all the trains that come into New York City. They're single level. Have these. So if I'm traveling them solo, I actually prefer to sleep in the upper berth because it has two sets of windows. There's a window for the upper and a window for the lower, and there's actually a lot of headroom on the upper. And it has on the older Viewliner ones, it has a toilet and sink in the room. Whereas the new ones, the toilet's down the hall, which is like it is on the Superliner, which are the double.
I think that these were designed for an older clientele, and I think mainly younger people are like, why is there a toilet in the room? Why are you peeing next to my head? listen, I won't kick shame people who are into that, but like that, they are renovating these, and they're getting rid of the toilets in the room. Another thing to mention is when you're in a roomette, regardless of where a lot of your bags are, just be aware that you can put your fursuit heads. During the day when you don't have the second bed deployed, and this is both for Superliner and Viewliner roomettes, use the second bunk. Just bring it down a little bit. Put your fursuit heads up above you. Don't leave them down where people can screw with them or steal them or whatever. Bring your heads in them. Put them on the bed, and then whatever person in the roomette doesn't like kick and squirm and destroy things with their feet, they can sleep with the heads.
There's also space above the door usually.
Yes, in the Viewliner there are, yeah, Superliner is this. Yeah. 1 second, let's go pull down. Here's another view of the, is this a Superliner or Viewliner?
Viewliner. This is actually a Union Station in DC. So you can get sort of a sense of the, so that's the lower. It's during the daytime configuration, it's two seats facing each other, and those seats fold down into a lower berth, and then the upper berth pulls down from above.
The one note is if you're tall, you might hit knees.
Watch out! All these, all the room, the stuff in the room actually eat things, as in there's a lot of little mechanical components. So before you leave your roomette, make absolutely sure that you have not left anything behind, like hand paws or whatever. Here's a bedroom. This is from 2019, where I thought when they first superliner bedroom. But the bedrooms are generally the same. I'm not trying to be Mr. Ritzy here. They generally are expensive, but when they switched to their new pricing model, they had a different pricing model back in the day, and I got this for ridiculously cheap price in points. It was like 14,000 points in 2019 before COVID. So if you see a cheap bedroom option, or you have people that really need more space, or you have three people and you want to call up and try to finagle that third person, the bedroom. Somehow, like, it's a giant bed. The person I was going to be with on this trip pulled out, so I had this whole room to myself, and the price was so low that I wasn't angry. And these do have a full bathroom and shower in the rooms.
Yes, they self-contained toilet and shower in the same compartment, and the sink is outside.
But there's a door, so no one is peeing next to your head. another thing that you'll see on the trains is they have cocktails, canned cocktails. They're actually pretty good. Just FYI. Once in 2019, when I was going to 2018, I was taking the capital over to MFF. They were actually getting rid of these half bottles of wine. You're not going to see these again, but I just thought it was really funny. They were giving out half bottles of wine. They also will occasionally, depending on what Amtrak management cares about at the time, may give you nice amenity packs. The sleeping cars have showers, and they have towels and other linens. A good attendant will also hand. They do not. By rule, they don't have shampoo or other things like that for you. They have soap, but not shampoo, but the attendant will often bring shampoo if you forget your own. This was just, again, Amtrak was like trying out these really ritzy amenity packs. They don't do these anymore, but I just wanted to have an example.
I was asking, with COVID, they got rid of a lot of the shampoo and stuff, or they gave you...
When I took it... I don't know. I didn't check
that.
Well, generally, I've not seen them provide shampoo. They provide towels and soap, but generally, in my experience, not.
Attendant will bring them on their own if they're a good attendant. Then tip them more.
Yeah, don't count it. You should if you have like what I travel quite a bit. I usually
BYO,
take
yeah.
home the shampoo and conditioner from hotels, and I have a bunch of those at home, and I just bring those with me.
Right now, like I said, dining car service is still being recovering from COVID. The West Coast ones are basically full back. The East Coast ones still a little chintzy. This is just an example of being served in your room.
This is actually my photo. And there was a dining car in this car.
Sorry.
This is before they got rid of it.
She can't do
that. Yeah, so they got rid of they had the dining car still there, but we had the option to eat in our room, and we asked to eat in our room because we've just gone on the train in Boston.
And they will still give that option today in the East because all the food are microwaved. But hopefully that will change.
That is
Any train, if you request to have your food served in the room, you can. But in the Western trains, where they have the traditional dining, I think part of the fun, they would do what's called community seating. If you're traveling in a party of less than four, they'll seat you with others and you strike up conversations and you meet all kinds of interesting people.
I've almost never had a bad conversation, so don't be scared to talk to people.
Agreed. You meet a lot of friends on the train.
So actually, this is on the MBTA. We were going into Boston South Station to go take the train, and this is just our heads and our bag, our first head bag that we have to mission.
Yeah.
It's a nice way to travel in your head and keep it protected.
And if you don't have one of these, IKEA bags.
Yes.
Just a quick thing. When you are totally not making that, so you can make a same-day connection in Chicago going. We generally say it's reliable to go east to west. Do not make that same-day connection west to east. But when you're in Chicago, remember that if you can always, there's baggage. You can drop bags. It's not like super rigorous, but it's generally still fine. They have a baggage storage room in Chicago. So if you're in a sleeper, you can drop your bags, your 80,000 fursuit bags in this room in Chicago, and you can go do Chicago things. You can go down to the Roosevelt Road overpass and catch all the trains going by, like I did with Ponder. And you can walk around the city, you can get Giordano's. I'll have a quick follow-up on that. Other things in Chicago, there are showers in Chicago. If you need them and you want a nice big one and you don't use the one on the train, use them. If you're going again west to east or transferring through Chicago, these showers are great. Also, the Chicago Lounge for sleeping car passengers has a good variety of food.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this
is the Metropolitan Lounge, which is included if you're have a sleeping car ticket, and you can pay a certain amount to access if you have a coach ticket.
Okay, let me see what else. So this was like a fun thing. In 2019 I'd never done the Texas Eagle, so I went from Washington to Chicago to Dallas for a TFF when it was still the old hotel. So I just always found the train fun just because you go past the DLCC,
yep.
So we went to Chicago. We bought Giordano's pizza in Chicago, took that pizza to TFF. And then we had a Giordano's pizza in our room, and people were like, how do you have an MFM pizza in your room? It's like, I don't
take it to the LFC.
But this just shows, this isn't exactly, this is like adjacent to the station, but it shows you how close the TFSS now hotel, or the old TFF, was to the Amtrak station. And it literally had a direct connection, which made it amazing. But today, at this one, you just transfer to a dark light rail and take it three stops up into the city, and you get off at the new TFF hotel. Really rail fare friendly, and I said those arrival times will be right at check-in, and they're also right after checkout. And remember, you can always request late checkout, and you'll usually get it if you just go and ask nicely, so don't all freak out. Furries need to know they need to call. You can call and ask for things, and hotels will give them to you. Also, here's another picture I was just waiting for the Eagle to leave, and there's a furry rail fan there, and some of my pictures, like, you can see his badges, and he's out getting photos of the, 2022? Yep, leaving TFS there. Or TFF. Wait, no, I forgot.
What's TFF?
I was there for TFS in 2021, so I can't remember which photo this was. So, a couple things on suiting on trains. You can do it. Just again, your typical public fursuit rules apply. This is where I was traveling with Eckler Silverman at the time, and we were like, the suit was actually very brand new in 2015. We were just kind of getting into public suiting, so we're like, heck, I'm wearing this on the train. The Amtrak crews are really chill, just like airplane people. But unlike the airline people, you have way more than 5 minutes to put your suit on and get your picture. If you're going to do stuff with the crews, just make sure it's outside of meal times. Usually after dinner, they are going to be chilling out. They've got not a lot to do. That's your best time to get your pictures with the crews in the dining car. Any comments on that?
I've only ever worn my fursuit head in a roomette on trains, but at some point it'd be cool if there were a bunch of us on a long distance train to be able to do more suiting.
One of the photos that I forgot is, I always love it, on the time I've taken I've taken trains to FurCon, it's always nice to walk back through the cars and try to play spot the furries. You see the giant, you see the giant action pack has box of circle written on it, it's like, there's a circle. We've set up a chat on Telegram for taking a furry train chat. I'm not sure what the actual name of the chat is, but
it's currently A&E Furry Train. It started as MFF Furry Train.
Forget about coordination. If you're on that train that connects to a con, just walk back through and find, you do the secret furry handshake signals, and you'll find your friends. You can hopefully, again, try to coordinate your seats, move around a little bit, and just have fun. So, example of people on 448 yesterday. I think there were only 28 people left on that train for some reason. So the train got delayed by the car. A lot of people had the option to get off and take an Uber because they think they stopped at a commuter rail station. Of the 28 people remaining on the train, 14 were furries, and they just started doing crazy stuff, wearing their heads and taking photos. So again, these are public fursuiting rules. That's a different panel, but just again, you can do it. The crews are cool. Just use your general judgment on good public fursuiting etiquette. This is a quick, we're sort of getting to the story phase. So we were coming back from Califer to go to New Orleans, and we had the Equa suit with us. And Dan Aykroyd had his damn private car in the back of the train. So at El Paso, I was angry because it was blocking my photos in the back. But we were like, hey, let's get the suit back there, and we'll just take pictures and see if we can tempt them out. We were not able to tempt Dan Aykroyd out of the private car. We did meet him in New Orleans, though. He did get off and shook his hand, but not his suit.
By the way, that route closed after Katrina. Are they ever going to redo that?
Well, no, this is in El Paso. So this is the sunset between in the
LA and New Orleans.
LA and New Orleans.
Okay, gotcha.
This is another picture. None of it. You might see he's at the Con today. Again, starting.
That's Petco
in,
Park.
This is starting in San Diego.
Yeah.
Back before Amtrak changed its guest rewards redemption policy, they had flat rates.
That's my ball team.
When you got a flat rate, it was 20,000 points anywhere to Chicago from either side of the country, which meant that you did not do it on the East Coast.
But, when was that picture taken again?
This would have been in 2016.
Okay. Yeah.
This was last year, the old policy, and they would give you you'd get Pacific Parlor car, sorry, not Parlor car, but you'd get, like, they put you business class and then the sleeper all the way to Chicago.
I take the Surfliner every year from Fullerton, Orange County, to San Diego, Santa Fe Station, and I use the points, because I have, like, 18,000 points. So I can actually go from Orange County to San Diego for as little as 1,500 points.
It used to not be connected to the amount of value, so they gave me, it was a flat rate. But they would, like, you could go from San Diego to Chicago for 20,000 points.
Yeah.
And you could also go from Chicago to Washington for 20,000 points, which just was stupid, so you just paid that.
San Diego to, I think, as far as Cleveland.
Yeah. It was insane. They don't do that anymore. By the way, note the ANE 2016 hockey jersey there.
The second year of the con.
I might have met
theme.
You at a con, and you were wearing
that. We were super parceling this, so he's hiding his hands because he doesn't have any hand claws. He just has the head on.
There's Dave on the coming back from AC on the Capital Limited, just getting some space with my head on. And I'm wearing the Blue Ridge Fur Fair T-shirt with Ponder on it because I was a sponsor level where you got your Sona in the official con.
That's all the photos we have. Do you guys have any fun stories? We didn't want to. You came up here and sat. You've been super helpful. So those are our initial stories. But we'll let you guys tell any fun stories you have for soup training.
Well, it's not really a story, but if you go on YouTube and look up Shane Deepwood, Amtrak, I have a video of me just showing what a bedroom floor looks like, and I'm just being silly.
I have a story. I mean, but let's see. Fursuiting, going to cons. I just want to say that another thing that might be underrepresented is actually like kind of a hybrid of using a city's metro network and carpooling with people, because, you know, sometimes taking the train, you might know someone with a car and you might carpool with them anyway. And what I've done for A&E the past few years is actually, because the con was so downtown, I would take the orange line from like Jamaica Plain, where parking is, you know, cheap or free, and then take that right to the Park Plaza. And that worked out really well this year. I don't really know what the deal is, because I don't know what the nearest T station is to here. And
South Station?
It's the Silver Line.
Silver Line, but South Station otherwise.
Wow. It's a quarter, it's like 500 feet away. I do want to have one, we gave you a bunch of do's, we give you a do not. The first year I took the Capital Limit to MFF, there is another fur on the train. I will not name names. It's no one here or no one anyway knows, but they have matured, so they're better. They wore their suit the entire 16-hour train ride, and then wore it on the CTA. No head, but they wore their body suit the entire 16-hour train ride, and then on the CTA to MFF. Do not wear your body suit on the train for the entire train ride. I'd hate to have to say that, but that guy was probably super squishy by the end of that trip.
He could have been a musky husky, too.
Yeah, I got one more. I mean, just this is like not really furry related, but because I've been going to like Virginia a lot, the rail fan cams. How many of you have like watched a rail fan cam? Like, okay, they're on YouTube. If you just like look for that, they're streaming 24/7, and you can always see like trains or just see like the empty junctions. Honestly, people waiting for the trains, but there's like chat rooms where people talk about it. And we found one in Ashland, Virginia, on the way back when we were like stuck in a station. And like, I like made out with her really quick, and like the guy operating the camera like tilted away from like the railroad grade crossing and like zoomed in on us. It was really cute. Like, I screamed out. So definitely look up the rail fan cams. They're awesome.
I guess we can throw it up to the audience.
Anybody have any
experiences?
Yeah, what's up?
I just had a question.
Yeah,
I got
go for it.
A little bit later, I got mine, but me and like 10 friends took 176 up in Virginia. We were like so close when he
so much fun and it's a blast. But then, like, at first the staff, like, the first, like, shift of staff was really nice. They let us, like, turn our, like, arcs or, like, our seats around so we could face each other and talk. But then the second staff, or staff got on, and they were, like, not having that at all. They're like, no, your seats need to be facing forward. And, like, from that point on, I don't know, I felt like our experience was just, like, less fun. It was all kind of, like...
So, what, we were on 176 at the regional?
Yeah, so, I'm guessing the crew in Virginia up to D.C. was the nicer one.
Yeah.
That pretty much tracks with my experience.
Yeah.
There's different crew bases, different attitudes.
So, this is a good point. So Amtrak crews, crews are vastly different. There's two types of crews. There's the actual, like, conductor, engineer, rules qualified crews. They switch out frequently on the line. And you'll have one conductor that's totally chill with you doing the thing, and then they'll change crews, and the next crew will be completely jerks. That's one of those things where it's mainly you go to railfan forums and ask which crews are cool and which crews are jerks. But on longer distance trains, where you have what they call they have more attendants. These are people who are customer service oriented. They ride for the entire trip. So you'll get like two flavors of them. You have the DC or New York flavor of those people, and you'll have like the people that are based in New Orleans. In general, though, you're going to have a way more consistent experience on a long distance train because you're going to get that same guy, and he's either going to put up with your bullshit or he won't put up with your bullshit. On more regional trains or even on the NEC, you get like changeovers. So if you know where those are, if someone tells you you can't do something, it's like going to mom, and after dad says no, after a certain point, you get a new crew, and you can then ask to do that thing again. And also, I've always tended to be like, again, this is more a railfan-y thing. It's always generally better to, depending on what it is, there's always a permission versus forgiveness. That's a lot of personal experience. Just be aware of it. Sometimes you want to ask, sometimes you don't. I can't go into all the details on that, but like there are situations where I have like a GoPro I can put on the back of the train, and certain people they'll yell at me, but when the crew changes off in Raleigh, Durham, I can put that thing right back on, and then I get a whole other set of downs.
Yeah,
I'd say my experience, the generally the best onboard service crews, the attendant crews, are the ones based out of LA, who crew the Sunset Limited, Southwest Chief, and Coast Starlight, and also the crews out of Seattle, who crew the Empire Builder.
West Coast people are chill.
Yeah, they're awesome.
any other questions or experiences or things people want to go? Remember, the next, there's another rail panel in here at 7, so we're not really in a rush if people want to just sit around and talk.
We can do that.
Yep.
I guess just a small mention, if you are going to do something on a train in a suit, if you are walking between a rail car, I do recommend removing your head, because you have to understand you are walking between two rail cars. While it is weather protected and you do make it as comfortable as possible, especially if you are moving very fast, there are moving mechanical parts. Don't do it while you are partially blinded.
Yeah.
Just for your own safety.
We're not a handler. I'll help you out with that.
Yeah.
Having a handler public suiting is generally a good idea.
A couple other bits and pieces for people who enjoy the party time. If you are upgrading to a Acela First Class, they have a wonderful beer cart Elysian Space Dust. It's 8.2% IPA. You can just throw those right back until you need to go to sleep. They also have a variety of IPAs and stuff. So you get one free drink with your sleeper, but you can also bring more things with you.
On Amtrak California, they'll actually have some of the craft beer from our breweries in LA and San Diego that you can't get out here, for example. So it's based on geography, of course, but Amtrak California, they really promote local eateries, bakeries, stuff like that.
As does the Cascades and the Down Eastern.
Yeah, Down Eastern is the same thing.
I just wanted to point out something that Ponder might have a little bit more experience than me, but I've definitely noticed is that you can do a lot of like nature watching, like IRL free stuff from the trains. There's a lot of beaver lodges that I have noticed on the Northeast Regional, and when the train stops in Quantico at the military base, there's like a big platform with ospreys all over it. So
quite a lot of beaver activity in D.C. to Richmond. I've seen some from the California Zephyr up in the Rockies.
I've done Sacramento to Reno for BLFC once,
yes.
And you go through the mountains and those old, you know, mountain passes and stuff, you know.
There's also an urban beaver colony in Martinez, which is visible, just a short walk from the train station.
What's
up?
Yeah, so you mentioned like a Telegram chat. Is there like a chat for people who are just interested in like riding rails together and like...
Yes,
Ponder.
There's the we'll probably keep this chat going for like individual cons, people who are interested in taking a train to and from.
What about the rail? The actual.
But there's several rail fur chats. There's one just called Rail Furs, which is like the biggest one, kind of national international. And there's one called Northeast Rail Furs, for regional. There's one called Transiting Furs. I guess it's more focused on transit.
I am in that one. Oh.
I've got a New England Rail
Furs. Yeah, New England Rail Furs. There's several out there. We can if you want to come up to us.
We're gonna keep the furry train chat going. I'm not sure if we're gonna make it just like keep the name separate, like fixed, or we're gonna like keep updating it for what the con is. But it's one of those things of, like, we're gonna try to make more coordination for people who are on the train. But like I said, even if you can't find that, always walk the. I mean, I know you can't generally go to sleepers and stuff, and those are doors. But just keep your eye out for your furry friends, because we all know the secret signals, we all know the stickers, we all know the signs and the secret handshakes. And you can always do the same thing. One thing that you can do, like if you have an Anthropon fursuiter tag, I don't want to be like discriminating against people who aren't fursuiters, but that's an example where if you have a badge or a tag, you hang that on your bag that's visible. No one else on the train's going to know what that is, but a furry's going to notice that immediately.
Good idea.
The tag for the bag of tags 1 year that were like big tall prints.
Just again, use your, be creative, do that thing. We all know what our cultural signifiers are to attract attention, but not the wrong kind of attention.
And for those taking the Northeast, or traveling the Northeast, like to get here or to get to DC or something like that, keep in mind the Acela is not the only option. The Northeast Regional is like just as nice. It's a little bit slower, but only 15 minutes. Between Boston and New York, it's an average of about 30 minutes slower, while being significantly cheaper. I've taken both a bunch. I've taken both the Acela and the Regional a bunch. And in between Boston and DC, in Boston, New York, I joke you, it saves just 30 minutes, because a lot of the Northeast region, a lot of the tracks in the area is still low speed.
So within 2 minutes, you're saying?
30 minutes.
I'll give you a quick example. So one of the Amtrak's, with the way Amtrak's pricing, the way Amtrak's pricing works, Sundays are a high demand day. So when we were getting an Acela ticket back, they were the lowest price was $162. We were able to do that with buy one, get one, that's $80 a person, that's fine. Like, we need to get back early because they work the next day. A regional, the 6 p.m. regional, you can get a ticket for from Boston to Washington, $40.
Yeah.
That's cheaper than like any bus you can find and way nicer.
Yeah.
So
they both work.
Yeah. So unless you're traveling with a lot of people in a car and really don't mind like a 6 or 7 hour drive, don't just write Amtrak off as being too expensive. As long as you aren't buying a walk-up price in a high-demand day, like the peak leaf season and stuff.
Yeah. I travel Boston Albany a lot, too. Boston Albany averages $13 just to get from Boston Albany. It's a lower-speed route. It takes about 6 hours versus about 4 driving. But it's a nicer route. Trust me, I'd rather take the train there than drive. But it averages just 13 to maybe about 20 max. So it's not that expensive at all. It's cheaper than I argue cheaper than paying for the gas. So.
Yeah, definitely love taking a train. I think another thing, just before people trickle out, I just wanted to see like a show of hands. So how many of you, when you've gone to a con, and that city there supports like micro mobility? You know, they have like Lime or Bird e-scooters. How many of you have ever like tried that sort of thing? Okay, so there's like two. And how many of you have like brought a bike or a scooter or whatever to a con? Well, that's interesting. I just wanted to see, like, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm crazy doing this, but other times, like, I have run into other furs that ride and take transit. So, interesting.
I was going to just ask if anybody else had any fun stories to share about train, either to or from a con, or either pursuing inner near or around trains, even on like tourist railroads or things like that.
Okay. So as we start wrapping up here, by the way, I know that people are coming in for the Dodge panel, but it's still rail content, so if you're here for that, you're going to enjoy this. I would still highly recommend that if for anyone on the East Coast, the Washington and New York, Chicago to TFS. That's just a really fun trip.
especially since you go by AnthroCon, you go by MFF. It's like all the major cons in one rail trip. It's a neat thing. It's sort of like you'll trigger all your con nostalgia just on that one thing. You're like, it's March. It's like, whoa, I'm in AC. Like, whoa, I'm in MFF again. Whoa, I'm now at TFF. That was just such a head. That was such a weird head thing for me. Of like, I just it triggered all that. Like, I'm going to a con, but at a weird time of year. And you also saw more because the days are longer in March. They said, yeah, the major difference, like, if I'm going to handle it down of separating just taking Amtrak as a regular person or taking Amtrak as a furry, it's really going to come down to just be aware of the baggage and being encumbered as your fursuit or furry, whatever collection increases. Dealers, this is also a really good thing. So I know as you're talking about the baggage allowance, if you're a dealer, I don't really have any dealers here, or you want to be a dealer, or you know a dealer, recommend, again, I know dealers who have to fly everywhere, and they have to like spend crazy amounts on baggage fees to bring all their swag with them. Amtrak, I know the train is a little less reliable, a little longer, but you can just bring a huge amount of poundage of stuff with you. So recommend it to your dealer friends. You know.
If you need to use check baggage on the Northeast Corridor, I'm not sure if they may have to take. Yeah, but for a while the overnight train 66, 67 had baggage cars, and you like. But so like, if you were ticketed on a day train, if you brought your bags you wanted to check to the station the day before, they could be put on the baggage car on the overnight train. But I'm not sure if they do that anymore.
I'm sort of like in the tail end of things I'm forgetting. Another thing that we also can note: remember, you are not alone when you are traveling. As long as the station is near the con, you can always talk. Like, get on Telegram, get your friends to help pick up the station. Don't whatever. If someone says, hey, can you help me bring my bag in from the station or bring my fursuit? Like, if it's a 4-block walk, whatever. Rely on your friends. It's all for a good cause, in terms of promoting not airplanes or whatever travel. So I have no compunction against, asking friends to help me bring my bags in from the station that's nearby. So just remember, you have a community that can help you out in the solve the last mile problem. Anything else? Like I said, we're sort of just killing time for dads to get here.
Yeah, so open discussion.
Yep.
So if I want to, you may have answered this already, but
sure.
If we had like 10 people this time, if we want to do like 20 or 30, is there any economical way to just like rent out like a whole
yes.
car for a party?
We should go into this.
Their Amtrak does have a group sales desk where you can book up either a half or a full car. It's more possible and more available on regionals and shorter distance trains than on long distance trains. But definitely try to book that as early as possible. I don't have really much direct experience with it, but I know they do have, you have to call the group sales desk, and they'll give you some sort of special rate.
I've never done this, but I want to do this, especially for MFF. So right now, MFF, quote unquote, MFF furry train telegram is sort of like, again, I'm not trying to be super grandiose here. I keep trying to bring this up, and people are interested and they're not interested, but I feel like at some point, I think group sales is like, 10, 20 people? What's the minimum for that?
I think it might be 10, but I'm not sure.
If you can grow interest in taking Amtrak to, I'm going to give MFF, because that's really the easiest one. MFF, you leave here in the afternoon, you get to Chicago in the morning. It just skips a night. It's the most practical con to take Amtrak to. And if you Boston people on the Lake Shore or DC people on the Capital Limited, which is my zone, if you can get 20 furries, 40 furries who want to take the train to MFF, you call their group sales office, you get a sleeper car. You get you can buy out all those roomettes on top, you just take that sleeper.
or a full coach to yourself and you just spread out.
You can either call group sales or you just have people buy everything at the same time or whatever it is, whatever's cheaper, because I know that might actually be cheaper not to use group sales. You can just buy out that whole car, get enough people to do it, and especially MFF is the one that works the best with. Because you get on at 4 p.m. on a day, you don't have to kill a whole day at work if that's what your schedule is. You go overnight, you avoid that whole sleeping, you don't have to get that red eye, you don't have to spend that night in Chicago. You arrive at between 8 a.m. and noon, Take the CTA right to Rosemont, and you're there. Fly back. I fly back every year. I don't have the time to take that other day. You don't be ashamed about flying back from Chicago or wherever it is. But that's my goal, is to get that furry sleeper car, like, fully populated and just, like, roll it down the tracks. Everybody brings it. It just turns into a rolling pot.
And when I originally got into this, I had the idea I could do people who are in the private car world, and that's even more expensive. That would be, yeah, you're talking about like kind of a more of a luxury trip. But there is at least the possibility of being able to stay overnight on the cars while they're parked in a city like Chicago, potentially Pittsburgh.
Instead of staying in a con hotel, in AC,
it would be pretty doable. I actually got as far as looking into some of the logistics of this with a friend who is unfortunately no longer a friend back in 2019. But it would require a lot of logistics, and you have to put in a lot of hours and work with people to make that happen.
But keep your antennas up.
Part of the excitement about train travel is visiting the different stations.
Yeah.
This is my favorite station of all. This is Santa Fe Depot in San Diego, my hometown.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
It's 104 years old, and it just looks beautiful. And also, Los Angeles is Union Station, built in 1939, the year my mom was born. The Grand Old Dame, one of the last great train stations being built, and I'll tell you, you've seen it in a lot of movies.
Yeah. Santa Fe Depot is the only place where they have actually objected to. We actually had the action packer, and they made us check it. That was not cool.
That's
the only station where why couldn't we carry that on a surf liner? Like, what the heck is...
It was my first train station back in 1977 when I was 10 years old. And as I said, I fell in love with that train station from day one.
Okay, so it looks like Dodge's buddy is here.
Feel free to come on up if you'd like to the connection to our the Telegram chats.
You guys need to get on
up, and we can.
You guys need AV issues. We can just plug you right in.
Thank you,
Sam.
Thank you for
the panel people.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, guys.